Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Go with me in your Bibles. Glory to God to us. Psalms 24, the book of Psalms, and the number 24, chapter 24. Last week in Palm Sunday, of course, I introduced the teaching, and it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and seemed good to me just to share with you part two with this. And it's entitled, The King of Glory, The King of Glory. And I want to show you something. Glory to God, that many of you may know and some may not know. In Psalms 24, verse number 8, it says, who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Now, I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask the question, and then you're going to say the answer. All right? Who is this King of Glory? Come on. The Lord mighty in battle. Now, when you focus on the King of Glory, of course, who is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, you have to remember who he is. And remember this, that who he is and what he is, the only reason he is that is for me, for you, for us. So the Lord strong and mighty, then that means once you focus on him as King of Glory, watch this, then you will stop accepting weak days, weak moments, weak tendencies, because it's not predicated upon you making your life happen. The King of Glory causes life to happen for you. Can you say amen? But then it says this, let's back up. Glory to God, and read a verse, to read down into it. It says, verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Then verse 8, who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. This emphasizes a number of things, but today we're going to focus on two things it emphasizes when it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. My brothers and sisters, you have to understand that Jesus always extends an invitation for a walk of glory. You didn't get it. Jesus always extends you an invitation to walk more into his glory. But it says, lift up your heads. Well, what are you talking about? To make it real simple, you have to lose sight of what's been distracting you. You have to let go of the wrong focus in order to walk where he wants you to walk. The second emphasis that this particular verse emphasizes is when it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, is when you're speaking to a region or a territory that you're living in, and you're speaking to spiritual strongholds or territorial spirits that's been interfering with the blessing of the Lord coming on the people of God. That you can now command the doors in the territory you live in to open up for the King of Glory to manifest where he wants you to walk. Say, I'm willing
to walk
where Jesus wants me to walk.
The tenth verse
of Psalms 24 says, who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, or the God of the angel armies. The Lord of hosts. Host of what? The host of angels. He's the Lord of hosts. And watch this. He's made all the angels available to you and I. Hebrews 1:14. Why don't you look at it? I don't want to assume everybody knows about it. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Come on quickly. Verse 14. He says, aren't they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be, come on, heirs of salvation? Everyone say the angels,
are sent
to minister. For me. Watch this. The Holy Spirit has been sent to minister to me. But the angels are sent to minister for me. And the word minister simply means to serve, to come to the assistance of. When Abraham wanted, I don't know why we don't do this today, but when Abraham wanted his son, Isaac, to marry the right girl, he sent his servant to a particular land, and then he said, expect the angel of the Lord to direct you and show you. You mean God allows angels to be involved in the right hookup? You better believe it. But today, Christians are trusting online dating apps. Or Christians are trusting the voice of family or friends to set them up on blind dates. How I get on all this? It ain't got nothing to do with Resurrection Sunday. But God is interested. I don't know where I got this from. But God is interested in the right hookup.
All right now.
He sent his angels to do it. So, but let's get back to this. Everyone say the King of Glory. The King of Glory. Go with me in your Bibles now to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. That was for free. I don't know who that was for. Glory to God. Romans 6. Now, when you talk about the King of Glory, I'm not going to pick up everything I talked about last week. This week, I want to emphasize glory. I want to emphasize you accepting the invitation to walk in a measure and a level of glory that you have never walked in before.
Amen.
That the King of Glory is your King, glory to God, ordaining and dictating, for lack of a better phrase, let me just call it this, glory walks. That I can walk in a place. Well, you have to understand what this glory is. So let me remind you of this from last week before I read Romans 6. Number one, I said that God's glory is God's goodness. God's glory is God's goodness. We're going to look at some scripture now today. Number two, and I am going to go back over this, but for time's sake, I want to hurry up and move on. God's glory is his manifested presence. So number one, God's glory is his manifested goodness. Number two, God's glory is his manifested presence. He is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at the same time, but he's not manifested everywhere. So how do I get God, who is omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, how do I get him to manifest himself right where I am? You have to understand how to walk in his glory. Three, God's glory is the arrival of his power to change situations. God's glory is the arrival of his power to change a situation. So we can say God's glory is his manifested power. Number one, it's his manifested goodness. Number two, it's his manifested presence. And three, it's his manifested, come on, power. It's his power arriving to change. Not arriving just to give me a chill, a goosebump, a shiver, or a jerk. No, when you got the chill, the goosebump, the shiver, and the jerk, you also now have to expect situations to change.
Amen.
Because when his power manifests, it always changes situations. Say amen.
Amen.
And then four, we're just going to look at these four today. God's glory is also his people being all that he intended for them to be.
Wow.
Wow. When his glory manifests, it causes me to be who he has always intended for me to be. One of the things that I'm understanding, glory to God, is how to ask God by his spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to take me where God wants me to be. That wherever I have lost time, wherever I have lost years or months, to make up the difference and cause me to be where I'm supposed to be at this age in my life, this season in my life, so I don't miss out on his glory. Everyone say, my missing out days are over. Okay, look at Romans 6 real quick. Let's start at verse number 3. I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along, whatever translation you have. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, or walk in a place where we're encountering and experiencing glory demonstrations from Almighty God. Let's look at verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him. This is called identification. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, come on, say like as Christ.
Like as Christ.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead. I got to ask you a question. Did he get up?
Yes.
And that's why we're celebrating resurrection. Everyone say, he got up for me. Now, listen. Why did he get up for you? To show you how to walk. He didn't get up so you can just be a good church member. He didn't get up just so you can have a good feeling. He didn't get up just so you can say, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. He got up to show you how to live, how to walk by the glory of God, to experience what he experienced when he was on earth, walking in victory, walking in a state of pleasing the Father. Look at this. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, or let's say like this, in the same manner, just like him, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Come with me, please. Because back in the old school, when they would take us to this verse, walking in newness of life, we were taught and said, okay, I mean, you're not going to go to club no more.
Right.
What you used to do, you're not going to do no more. That's the newness of life. And so if you used to cuss, you're not going to cuss no more. If you was a brawler, you're not going to fight no more. If you were a rebellious heathen, then you're not going to rebel no more, because you're going to walk in newness of life. But they missed the supernatural aspect.
Yeah.
See, in the natural, I can tell myself not to go somewhere. But in the supernatural, I can walk in a place even when doors are closed. I can go and have success where other people don't even want me to rise. Or I can achieve some things and don't have the education to back it.
Yes.
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 Say that.
Everyone say newness of life.
Newness of life.
So you've done the elementary stage of it, and God is saying, I want you to graduate to another level of glory.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Say, the King of Glory,
was resurrected
so I can walk in greater measures of glory.
Amen.
Give him praise. No matter what challenges you face today, Jesus, who is the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts, or the God of the angel armies, He will cause you, listen, to rise, rule, and reign right where you are in life. Because he's the King of Glory, he wants you to know, now you got to write this so you can get it. He wants you to know that God's glory is always greater than whatever you will face in life. God's glory is always greater than whatever, say whatever. Whatever you will face in life. The King of Glory wants you to live by this revelatory truth that God's glory is, come on, always greater than whatever I will face in life. So I can be hit. You can be hit by surprises. But it never surprises the glory because it never surprises God. And since it never surprises the glory, watch this, it never hinders or limits your access to more glory to overcome what you're presently facing. Amen. Say amen, somebody. God's glory is always greater than whatever we are facing in life. Let's keep reading in Romans 6 now. Look at verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So it's the will of God for you and I to live in resurrection power and resurrection victory. Come on, y'all. Look at verse 6. Knowing this. Look at somebody say, you got to know this. You got to know this. See, you have to move from this place of questioning what's happening to you and start knowing what you're going to cause because of the glory you're carrying. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I'm going to add something to it. Live like him. Verse 9. Knowing that. Look at somebody, tell them, you got to know this. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Stop. I'm going to take you there. You might not want to go there, but I'm going to take you there. Since death has no more dominion over him, death has no more dominion over you. But you have to stop cooperating with death by speaking words that channel the effects of death in your life. What do you mean, Pastor Mark? When you say it's not working for me, you're saying your effort is dead. When you're saying I haven't got my healing, you're saying God's healing power is dead in your body. Stop cooperating with death because it no longer has dominion over you. So instead of dominating death, many Christians are still afraid of death. People who are scared to fly, they're not scared of airplanes. They're scared of the plane crashing. But they never think about, watch this, carrying the glory to keep it up.
Okay.
They never see that because, watch this, they're not in an environment that cultivates that. They're in an environment that cultivates fear, shortage, incompetency, and insufficiency. So they'll always say what they don't have, who they're not like, what they're not good in, and what they can't make happen.
Jesus, Jesus.
And so fear will reign when glory should be reigning. Come on. Say, the King of Glory,
the King of
Glory
got up
just for me.
Just for me.
Just for me. Look at this. Look at this. Now, if we be dead, verse 8 again, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And so if the King of Glory lives unto God, then you and I are also living unto God. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, I told you what glory is. A simple definition is the glory of God. Of course, the Shekinah glory is the heaveness of God. The Kabod is the heaveness of God. It's an intensity of his presence, his power, his performance. But glory, in its simplest definition, is a full expression of the nature and attribute of a thing. Glory is a full expression of the nature and the attribute of a thing. So when you're talking about walking in the glory of God, you're talking about walking in the full expression of God's nature and walking in the full attributes of God. What God is like. That's why I had our group go through on my prayer time through the names of God so that we could learn the attributes of God. When you understand the attributes of God, it helps you in what you can expect from God. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
But Satan is always operating with certain things to cause you to lose sight of glory. Let me give them to you. Number one, Satan comes, he comes at you with distractions. Distractions. Number two, Satan comes at you or attacks you with deceptions. Deceptions. Now, what is deception? It is a conviction on misinformation. And so you have to make sure that you don't allow your opinions to cause you to become deceived. So many people are fighting for their opinions or how they feel about something, and they have no foundation for what they say they believe. But for the believer, for the child of God, for you and I, the Bible is our foundation. Say, the Word of God,
is my truth.
And it is truth, without error.
Without error.
All right? So the adversary will come at you with distractions. He'll come at you with deceptions. I got to say this real quick by the Spirit of God, I believe. God says, stop crying about what the adversary is distracting you with. Stop crying about what the adversary is distracting you with. Thank you. Because those distractions you can overcome.
Amen.
If you don't, watch this, accept them. Because remember, I've always taught you, whatever you accept, you can't take authority. So take authority over distractions and stop giving in to them.
Amen.
Number three, the adversary will come at you with divisions. He always wants to divide because he knows if two believers come into agreement, he can never stop them from forward progress. He can't stop them from upward mobility. So he'll come at the husband and wife to get divided over the most simplest petty thing, but they'll make it major all because of their opinions, their perspective. He'll come against family members, he'll children against parents, siblings against one another, church members against one another, even though they have witnessed God's delivering power in their lives as they come together. The adversary will cause something to cause them to become divided. Divisions. The next one is he'll use a deterrence. He'll use a deterrence. I'll never forget the time that I was praying to God about a closed door that occurred. I was believing him for something, and I said, Lord, the door closed. And then he said, Mark, I never told you to respect closed doors. I've been training you to use your faith to knock them down. Y'all didn't get that.
Yeah.
See, it was a deterrence. And it's that deterrent, watch this, I was making it alter my destiny, Jesus. Don't allow an obstacle to become the deterrence that keeps you from destiny. When you know you're supposed to be doing something, then you can't take no for an answer. Who am I talking to? When you know God has said something to you personally, you can't allow what's happening that's contrary to that to convince you God isn't moving for you. Amen. Deterrence. Don't allow demonic deterrence to keep you from destiny. And then there is discord. Discord, yes. You got to tell believers not to get into discord. Discord, petty arguments. Discord, strife. Discord, bickering. Discord, where they want to prove that they are above the other and want the other to succumb to them. And so instead of communicating, they start wanting to dominate one another. And when God gave us dominion, he never told us to dominate another person. So I can't dominate another person's opinion. I can't dominate another person's perspective. I can't dominate another person's way of thinking. And you have to understand that you don't win when you've given in to discord. Just because your point got made across, you didn't win, the devil did, because he got 2-for-1 in that situation. Everyone say, we're not going to give in to discord.
We're not going to give in to discord.
Everyone say this. Say, arguing or getting into strife is not worth the glory that's on my life. And then deficiencies. The adversary will come to always tell you what you don't have, what you're short of. You don't have enough of this. Deficient. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not competent enough. You're not knowledgeable enough. You're deficient. He always wants you to see yourself in a less than position. But it's the glory that causes you to put yourself next to Jesus. It's the glory, not your human ability. It's his glory. Somebody say, thank God for the glory.
Thank God for the glory.
It's his glory that brings me up to the table. Not what I can accomplish. It's his glory that brings me in the presence of great men and women. It's his glory because since I identified with his death, now I'm identifying with his resurrection. And in order to identify with the resurrection, I got to walk in the glory. I have to walk in the glory. So, let me wrap this up. Go with me your Bibles to Exodus. This is probably all I'll be able to get. I got some scriptures for you, though. Oh, my. Well, before Exodus, go to 1 Peter. Before Exodus, go to 1 Peter. Then we're going to go to Exodus, and I'm going to let you go. 1 Peter. Anybody getting anything out of this today? 1 Peter. Look at this, chapter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, real quick. From the King James, it says, but rejoice. What did it tell us to do?
Rejoice.
What did it tell us to do?
Rejoice.
Look at your neighbor and say, get that sour look off your face.
Get that sour look off your face.
Tomorrow, get that sour look off your face. The middle of the week, get that sour look off your face. Because he said, rejoice. When are you going to obey God in these instructions like this? He says, but rejoice, 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Everyone say, I have to rejoice.
I have to rejoice.
He says, you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Now you got to catch this. Jesus went to the cross as our substitution. That's why you and I can't reproduce that. We are not and have never been good enough. He went as the Lamb of God. He was our, say it, substitution. He went to hell as our substitution. He died as our substitution. And he got up as our substitution. You got to see that. So now, what is my part in Christ's suffering? He took the sickness as my substitution. I'm to take the healing as a recipient. He took the punishment. I am to take the reward of someone who has been obedient like he was. He never sinned. So I take his reward. He took the sickness. He took the disease. He took the punishment. He took being banished to hell so that I don't have to go.
Amen.
So if folks ever tell you to go to hell, you say, Jesus went for me. He went for me. Appreciate it, but I don't have to go. Jesus went for me. You ain't got to get mad. He went for you. So now you have to look at, because your parents and grandparents didn't teach you this, they taught you to identify with life's troubles. And understand, when you're going through, you have to learn to identify with the positive side of Christ's sufferings and understand he did it for me. He was punished for me. He was whipped for me. He bled for me. The thorns, they just didn't place it at the top of his head. They twisted it till those thorns penetrated his skull and blood came down his face. They locked those thorns in. If he, when he hung his head, that's why it didn't fall off. It was like as if somebody hammered a nail in his head. But he did that for you and I.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the part of his suffering is you got to understand it caused us to have seven places of victory. I won't be able to take you to Exodus 33. I'll just end right here. Number one, he was nailed in his hands. He took the pain, the suffering that came with that so that you and I could have the blessing. So that now whatever you put your hands to prospers. So you stop saying it's not working for you, because what your hands handle, victory is established. The crown of thorns, another place where blood was shed for us. It's the seven places of victory where the blood was shed. And what has happened was when he bled from his head, it means now your thought life is never captive. You don't have to give in to emotional duress, emotional distress, or emotional depression because you've been given the mind of Christ. I'm free in my mind. I don't have to be troubled no more. I don't have to accept mental anguish. I don't have to accept mental deficiencies. I don't have to accept. Are y'all listening to me? Because he bled just for me. Glory to God. One, two, three. Those places were bled. He bled on his back. So that now I don't have to accept being whipped in life. I can walk through whole in life. But I got to understand how to access glory to do it. His feet, glory to God, were nailed. Indicating wherever the soles of your feet tread, it's already been given to you. That now you don't have to walk like other people walk. Deal with everything like other people deal with, struggle with what other people struggle, but because of his glory, I'm able to walk just like Jesus walked. When they wanted to push him over the cliff, he walked right through them. So I can walk through deadly situations and not be harmed. When they wanted to come against him, glory to God, but when they challenged him, He continued walking through and fulfilled assignment. What does that mean? That once you know your destiny, you will not settle for anything less. Because I'm pleasing God by fulfilling while I was born. Come on, somebody, give him praise. So some of us, you've been struggling for purpose. And you don't have to struggle with, why did God have me born? All you got to look at is, I now identify with Christ. And since I identify with Christ, I have a measure of glory to live by. Look at somebody and say, start living by the glory. Start living by the glory. In Exodus 33, Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. I'm ending with this. And God said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. I leave you with this, my brothers and sisters, because he is the King of glory. He is saying, will you please begin asking to see more of my goodness?
Ooh, praise God.
Who am I talking to? See, just you can't look at God like you did your parents. And they told you were asking for too much. They told you what you could and couldn't ask for. You need to lose sight of limited natural relationships and understand you've been brought up. Amen. God says, ask me for more of my goodness.
Amen.
Is there something you need from the Lord? Then you know you want to know how to solve needs? Start asking God for what you want. See, I use this example all the time. All you need is one pair of shoes, but you don't want one pair. And I believe everybody in here got more than one pair of shoes. And your want swallowed up that need for one. Can y'all see that? He says, ask me for my goodness. He says, because just like Moses asked for it and I didn't judge him, I'm not going to judge you when you ask me to see more of my goodness. I'm inviting you, my brothers and sisters, in this resurrection season to experience more of the glory of God, which is his manifested goodness, his manifested presence, his manifested power, and the manifestation, glory to God, of him causing you to become all he intended for you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the glory. Stand on your feet. Let's put our hands together, give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, Father, we pray today that as the word has gone forth, that you will cause it to be sealed into the hearts and minds of your people. Cause this word to penetrate every measure of satanic attacks, deception, delusion, that he's tried to deceive the people of God to live by. I'm asking you, Daddy, to give them a new vision of Jesus. Give them a fresh vision of themselves in Jesus.
Yes.
And give them, show them how to walk in levels of glory that they have never walked in. Because you promised us that we would go from glory to glory. And so we, as the people here, Faithward Fellowship International and Faithward Fellowship Canada, we choose to go to levels of glory we've never gone to before. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen.
Amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.